Greetings. Overcomers.ca, The New Jerusalem, Carrying On the Foundations, Chapter 51, Andrew a Strong One. Scriptures. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Mark 1, verses 16 to 18. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he goes on living by the power of God. And though we too are weak in him, as he was humanly weak, yet in dealing with you, we shall show ourselves alive and strong in fellowship with him by the power of God. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Romans 4, verses 20 to 25. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 10, and Scriptures. Two visions. First vision. The person of our Lord coming forth out of the rock tomb in which his dead body had lain. Raised to life by the power of God, I saw Jesus come forth out of the tomb in the brightness of the new creation day. He was clothed in white clothing with a new body, bearing the marks of the old. Yet in his veins did course the same light as the light of the sun, and the glorious light that is indeed the glory of the Lord. His veins were filled with the very same light in his body now displayed. And vision. Second vision. I saw an individual overcomer, no one in particular. I just knew that they had endured the trials of life and had overcome as Jesus had overcome. The hour of Jesus' coming had arrived. I saw Jesus standing in his glorified body before the overcomer, and from deep within the overcomer came forth the fullness of the life of the Lord, while the Lord himself stood before them. So much so did the power and resurrection life of the Lord come forth from inside the core of the overcomer that Jesus saw clearly his entire complete reflection in the whole person of the overcomer. I knew that this was for each one who would be counted worthy to partake of the first resurrection, thus having the Lord fully formed in them. But to them he will come in that momentous hour. They in turn reflect perfectly the very person and image of the living Lord. and vision. The Apostle Andrew was the brother to Simon Peter. He had met Jesus after first being a disciple of the Baptist, dwelling that day in Jesus' house, and later he finds Peter to tell him that they had met the living Christ. Andrew was a witness to the miracles of Christ and to his death upon the cross. He also witnessed firsthand the resurrection, being the fourth of the favored three, Peter, James, and John. He, along with them, met Jesus after his resurrection many times, handling personally the word of life. He later preached north of Israel in the lands of Asia Minor and Syria and Greece. There are historical accounts of him preaching along the southern end of the Black Sea, in the Ukraine as well. Some dispute historical documents as to the location of his martyrdom. It was either in ancient Petros, in the land of Achaia, or in Edessa, Greece. However, the method of his martyrdom was on an X-transverse cross, where two arms of the cross were embedded in the earth, and it was there that he finished his course, keeping the faith. I have seen Andrew as being found as part of the foundation of the New Jerusalem as the Caladancy stone, which is similar to the agate and the onyx. His typology is found worked into the life of the overcomer by being one set apart unto the resurrection of life, yet first in the trial of life. As one who endures the judgments of God upon their person until there is a firm separation of flesh from spirit, that which was to that which will be. For Andrew saw that the new created body of Jesus, raised from the dead, with the light and life of the Father flowing in his veins, yet Jesus bore still the marks of crucifixion, a lamb as it had been slain. Thus Andrew represents the agate, first in discerning flesh and deception from spirit and that which is truth, to the victory of the onyx in coming forth in resurrection life, with nothing of the former life remaining alive, that death passes over and life only remains. For those who overcome in this hour, the typology is vital to our faith. The fact remains that anyone who is a true overcomer will not deny the fact that they still have this mystery of iniquity working in them while they wait for the fullness of their inheritance, even the glorified body. For just as Jesus' dead body was raised out of the tomb, so shall they that overcome partake of the very same in fullness, with no shadow of the past left in them. They too shall be raised from the dead, as their Lord was. This was the hope and confession of the Apostle Andrew. Studying the Word of God is the privilege of those who overcome, when that study always returns one to their center, that we always come back to the knowledge that the former things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now with this knowledge, we practically walk this out, taking one step at a time until the actual appearing of Christ happens and the trials of life are at a permanent end. For Jesus is coming, not just coming in spirit in greater and greater measures, but coming in person to glorify those who have overcome, to cause them to partake of his full resurrection victory with no duality, no contention of flesh versus spirit, the life of this world being swallowed up by the power and life of his throne in the kingdom of God. To speak practically of this, one must recognize that we still do live very much in perishing bodies of clay and in lives mixed with duality, that there is yet not just the new nature, but the old one as well. It is this very schism that the study is all about, that there will be an end by the raising again of Jesus from the dead in you. Dear Overcomer, are you compassed about with trouble and pressures on every side? Is there in you the sorrow of your life in this world? Have you been pressured and tried and tempted and assailed with every conceivable stress this world affords you? Has the news of the day and the life of this world become a total futility to you and a source of fear? Has that one particular trial happened to you that is the worst you could think of or expect? The loss of a loved one, the loss of your health, the loss of your ability to think clearly or to remember things. Do you feel age creeping in upon you rather than the vigor of youth and of the hope of a new day? Do you hold fast the promise of God as something that seems more distant than near, more harder to accept and fathom by faith, and is something that seems to wane more than manifest itself? Are you compassed about with body infirmity and discomforts of your natural earth and clay? Has the appeal of wealth in this world and of riches in man's measure of things become but tinsel and vanity and pride with no satisfaction? You, dear Overcomer, if you are feeling such things, or have been bent by circumstance into a path you'd rather not walk in, then your life has become a tomb. And it is out of this tomb that the living Christ shall arise from the dead. The stone of your trial will be rolled away, and he shall be seen coming forth from within you. The death cloths that held him will pass through this glorified flesh, and his glorified flesh will come forth from within your very person. You, dear Overcomer, out of the trial of your life as it is now, houses the body of the Lord, and he is about to appear in you. Things will not remain as they have for the years of your life. The sound of his coming is in you. His manifestation is at the door, and you, dear Overcomer, will be glorified at his appearing. When he comes forth without measure from inside you, your trials will be at an end. Your separation from loved ones will be over, and you will, with Christ, enter the eternal glorified state. You have heard this said time and again over the years. It still seems like a distant and sometimes faint hope, but it is not. Just as Jesus literally rose again, so shall this happen unto they that overcome. Now hear a mystery, one that is curious to the carnal mind, and one that earns the scorn and the ridicule of those standing around observing your walk. There is a mystery in the handiwork of God that can only be lived and experienced and known by those who earnestly vie for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This mystery is based in a knowledge of a hope for that which would give newness of life and would not give the hard impact of the deadness of the letter. There is a deadness of the letter of the Word of God that is stringent, unbending, crass, and does not move with the waves of the Spirit of the Lord as he motions through the assemblies of men. This hard stone discernment of the Word of God becomes a thrusting sword or a hurled spear from Christendom, who belligerently tie the Word of God to their belief system, interpreting Scripture to their own ends. They then use that hard pointed weapon to persecute those who have come apart for processing in the overcoming walk. Hear then this mystery, which I deem as a small part of the mystery of God. The way of overcoming and of being found with the full emergence of Christ in your life at the moment of his appearing, that future event which is yet to happen, comes first by a mannerism in our walk that is hard to comprehend. It is this mannerism and walk which I see to be the mystery of God I speak of. For the Lord does one thing with each one he has called into overcoming victory. He absolutely shuts them in and confines them in hard circumstance. The true overcomer, who will freely reign with Christ upon the throne of the ages, is at this present time completely hemmed in by outward circumstance and pressure. They are servants to unjust people, servants to ungodly men and women, obeying the voice of man when it comes to working at jobs in this world, and the overcomer is confined by the will of these ungodly people around them. At present, they that overcome are not seen at all as bearing the light of salvation, nor are they seen as ones who are fully destined to triumph in all things. Instead, the true overcomer in this very hour is completely stifled and smothered by harsh and cruel circumstance. They are buried by the will of others who make them obey the mandate of life and work in this present world. The overcomer is crushed by this and has no way of escape. They are trapped. They are held against their will, just as Andrew was on the transverse cross with the two arms buried in the earth. He was pinned more than just in crucifixion. He was pinned and as good as buried while he was yet alive. The cross was to him the anchorage of not just his feet, but his hands also. A form of crucifixion worse than just for the common criminal. This transverse cross, this X that he was nailed to, completely took from Andrew any ability he may have had in himself to account to any other man for anything. He was a martyred victim of this horrendous death. So it is to they that are overcoming. As this layer of the New Jerusalem is worked into your life, you will be completely buried and smothered. The goals you would like, the riches or lands or place in this world you think you would have done well with, the job you think you could have made money at, the group or society you felt you could have contributed something to, whether in artistry, sportsmanship, or otherwise, all of it is removed from you by this mystery. For the Lord himself hems you in. He completely allows men in the world to pierce your hands and feet on the transverse cross, as happened to the Apostle Andrew. The Lord takes from you all you could ever desire in this world. So then, the overcomer enters a state of total and complete frustration. They have no recourse but to fall into despair and depression, with no end in sight to the futility of life they are encompassed in. This, dear overcomer, is the perfect will of God for you. So shut up and hemmed in that you cannot move. You cannot free yourself from the nails of piercing or the trial of circumstance and pressure. That which you would not, you do, and that which you would hope to do becomes your frustration. You become bound by the hand of the Lord, and it pleases the Lord to do so to you. How different this is from the sons who are caught up in New Age doctrines. Their doctrines teach them equality with God, a place, a name, a prosperity, a dignity, and a revelation which no one else can have except they who agree with their doctrine. But for the overcomer, there is right now in this world, in this place, only one revelation, and that is that they are crucified with Christ upon the cross. They are pinned, not free, bound, not loosed, captivated by circumstance, not free to do their own thing or to be honored by those around them. Yet in them also, yet in them is also the true resurrection life of the Lord, a distinct difference from the outward circumstance. And the most incredible part of this mystery, dear reader, is not that they are hemmed in by circumstance, by bodies that are often or always sick, by trials and tests which crush them. No, the most incredible part of the circumstance is not that God did this binding to they that overcome by his hand. No, the most incredible part of this mystery is that the overcomer endures this bondage. Why? Because it works death in them. It kills in them any love for this world. In them, a void is filled now with purpose. The purpose being to have their bondage removed by the appearing of Christ in them in fullness. Their true and real hope of the gospel. And there is yet one more thing this mystery begins, this mystery brings to the overcomer. The mystery of the transverse cross, of dying like Andrew did in martyrdom. And it is this, that even when your hands and your feet are impaled by the nails of this cross, that your life is hemmed in by circumstances you cannot control, that your hopes and dreams and desires are dashed against the stones, and you are frustrated, that your life is bound by the will of others, and you simply are not free, that in the midst of all this that binds you in this very hour, you are completely and totally free in the Lord. You are above all this in your faith, and your circumstances are conquered by the free flow of faith within you. Ah, the inward power of the symbolism of the Caladancy stone, that you would bear this judgment of God against your very person, to be one hemmed in by circumstance, yet at the same time made completely free in your faith to run this race and to gain the prize of the high calling, one who would be counted as part of the overcoming company. What a mystery that God does such a thing to us, binding us in our flesh to set us free in our spirit. This is what I see in the life of the Apostle Andrew. Know, dear reader of these lines, that your bondage is real. It is true. It is done by the Lord. You cannot have your own way, your own desire, whether it be for lands or houses or wealth or art or desire for things of the world, or even just for plain simple existence in that which you think would be a source of satisfaction for you. In all these things, God becomes an enemy. He persecutes you into bondage. And this is a bondage unto the Lord, not outside of him, into your circumstance, not apart from it. This is the mystery of our suffering. That is why you have been hit with such horrendous trials, why your physical body is suffering, racked with pain and disease, why your mind is taxed with the cares of this natural world and of paying bills and making sure you have enough on the table to feed yourself with. All of this is given by God to teach you to abandon your own way and to walk in the way of the cross. God is teaching each one who would overcome to be bound and to be free, to suffer loss and to gain all that the Lord has in the life of His Spirit, freely ruling and reigning with Him upon the throne, seated in heavenly places, all at the same time. This is the working of God in the life of they that overcome. Hold fast, dear reader, of these lines. The Lord is at hand. You are bound for a reason, but only for a season. You are bound for a reason, but only for a season. The end of this will be that the lump of clay, which is in your flesh nature, will roll off of you at His coming, and that which is true spirit in you will abide and remain. This is the working of the Lord. It is His bondage you are in, and it is in preparation for His coming and for His qualification of you for the eternal throne. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.